Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi. Hi, Ronnie. Hi, America. Hi, the world. How's it going?
Wow.
Hi, Santa Clarita.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is the Valley Day. This is why Santa Clarita is getting a shout out. So welcome to this. We're almost to the end. It's a penultimate season, penultimate to the season finale. So we've got that. If you want this on video, you can find videos of all our recaps over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. As usual, it's where you get your bonus episodes, your ad-free listening, and a free newsletter that comes out every week that I write. It's just like a jokey recap of all these shows. So check that out. That's free to sign up for. Monday night at 5:30 p.m., we have Crappy Hour Live, which is where we talk to you guys on YouTube and Patreon, another free thing on Patreon. And we simulcast it. What's wrong with me? To okay. Instagram as well. So that's 5:30 p.m. Pacific time on Mondays. We've also got Amazon Live on Mondays at 1:30 p.m. on Amazon Live. You can find links to all of this stuff in our link in bio on Instagram.
Okay. And a very, very happy birthday to an icon for both of us, Edie McClurg. Happy birthday, Edie McClurg.
Oh, Edie McClurg. Yes. Happy birthday, Eads.
Happy birthday. Mrs. Poole. For those who don't know,
Mrs. Poole. I know her really well because we used to perform in the same hour at an improv night at I.O. back in the day when that was still a thing. So I would see her. I'd be like, oh, hey. And she'd say, well, hello. And I mean, it was a deep friendship, but it was always.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So happy birthday.
She's an icon. She's wonderful. She's, yeah.
I'd say,
she's all you could dream of.
Icon. Yes.
Icon, bitch.
It's also Monica Lewinsky's birthday, by the way. Anyway, continue.
Well, happy birthday to everybody.
Everyone.
It is weird Everyone that Monica Lewinsky is born the same day as Edie McClurg, right?
I know. This has become like my new thing. Every time we come on here, I'm always like, oh, I wonder if there's a funny birthday today to announce to everyone. And it's always so funny to see who is born on the same day. Like Edie McClurg and Monica Lewinsky, right? Like who would have ever thought Slash from Guns N' Roses? What a trio.
Yeah. You never know, you know?
You never know.
But alas, it is. So happy birthday to them. Today, it is the 17th episode birthday of The Valley Season 3. Yep. The episode is called Guilt Tripping. Mm-hmm. So they do that a lot on this show. So that's what we're... This show is basically about why are you nice to that person or why aren't you nice to that person? We all like that person. Or why are you nice to that person when we don't all like that person? You know, childish.
Yeah. But this episode specifically is the episode that will always be known as the episode where Zach shits himself at Chili's.
Yeah. Some things I just don't need to see, you know, and sometimes also it's okay to take off your mic. Like, do we need to hear you pee? When I was in Into the Woods as a teenager, I was playing Jack and I ran off to the bathroom and they forgot to turn off my mic. And you just heard me peeing and talking to one of the princes. We were peeing next to each other. We were like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And it went over the whole.
That's like the Naked Gun. I didn't know that could actually happen. Oh,
the
my
whole
God.
Theater. Yeah. Like, so, you know, Jack, I feel like sometimes it's okay to take off your mic, turn off your mic. There's a switch. No one needs to hear you shit in your pants. Okay. Not that he did that on purpose. We don't need to hear you pee either. And then the very next scene is Lala burping into the camera. The show is kind of trash, you know, clean it up show.
I wish I could have been at that production of Into the Woods where you were peeing. While the baker and his wife were wandering through the forest trying to find a cow. That's amazing.
Turn off the mics.
Every moment is a moment.
So it was pee. Thank God it was a number one. I refused to poop in public until
it's raining in the forest.
Even still, kind of. Yeah. And just giggling because, you know, it was me peeing. I'm like, stupid satanic laugh.
Well, anyway, speaking of Satan, let's go to the valley. So Tom's townhouse. We're here at Tom's townhouse. And guess who's there? It's Kiana. So he's made her a cake, or he got her. He did not make it. He got her a cake. And he's like, oh, Kiki, look what's on the cake. And she's like, a key. Would have liked it more if there were sunglasses on this cake. He's like, yeah, it's a key for Kiki. But then there's an actual key on there. And he says, well, you already have a key to my heart. And she's like, I know. And now I have a key to your home. I'm like, enjoy those aluminum residue on your frosting, ma'am. Ugh. Who puts a key on a cake?
Exactly. I was thinking that too. Why are you putting that on the cake?
Don't put a key on the cake.
That's disgusting.
Put like a little saucer and the key on top of it, but don't have the key directly in the frosting.
Enjoy your access to that 19-story home. You're going to really...
I know.
Really love
enjoy that.
So yeah. Then we go to Michelle, who's showing a home. It's $7.8 million, you guys. Mm-hmm. And then Zach and Benji are having lunch. And...
Mogu Cafe. Magoo? Mogu?
Magoo?
Magu? Mogu? Have you been there?
Oh, Mogu? Mogu Cafe? No.
Mogu Cafe?
Mogu?
No,
Mogu. Are you asking me or telling me?
I wanted to know if you had any insight on Mogu Cafe. Oh, it's actually in my... No. It's over on Wilshire, actually. It's not even in the valley. How about that? Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's always too far. So Zach is realizing that he bought a shirt, probably from Marshalls or something, which I do constantly, that when you wear it, it doesn't really fit, or it like bunches up in your boobs or something. And you don't really understand until you've put it on and you've gone out. And then you're fucked. What are you going to do?
I thought the shirt looked quite cute on him. I thought it was a good shirt. But he was like, the second I put it on, it basically wrinkles. Oh, my God. Oh, that was so much information. I love that that's like TMI for Zach. He'll shit on camera, but he's like, I don't want to be TMI, but my shirt wrinkled up.
Yeah. And Benji, we get kind of a different flavor of Benji today, because normally the Benji we see is, oh, Zach, no matter what's happening. The sky could be falling, buildings could be tumbling down around them, and Benji's just like, oh, Zach. But today we get that little piece of personality under him when he goes, you should really get better quality shirts. Oh, Zach.
It's like, ooh. I'm going to push back a little bit. I feel like that's been Benji's personality the whole time. I feel like he's constantly taking hilarious digs at Zach. Like, not mean digs, not where I say, oh, they've got a bad relationship. It's like hilarious, funny digs. Zach will be like, oh my God, my monster refrigerator's gone. And he'll be like, yeah, I actually sold it on Craigslist. So I don't know. I love Benji because he is very smiley and sweet, and he is always like, Zach. But there's always like a little like, yeah, you better not make my living room messy, you know?
Yes. There's always the possibility that he can just, you know, slice out a withering comment with the
smiceration, which I love. I love that for him.
Yeah, me too. So then we go to a scene where they're meeting with the immigration attorney. It's a flashback, and they're talking about Zach getting, or Benji rather, getting his papers and stuff. And they're talking about how the longer they fight for this, the longer it's going to take to save up for a surrogacy, because Benji can't work regularly here and it's really becoming a problem. And Zach can't leave here because he's on a TV show. So
basically. And so
it's like, what do you want? Money for a baby, or would you rather be on TV? And I think the answer to Benji is probably as clear to everybody else, but Zach ain't leaving TV unless he's...
Yeah.
Zach moved to LA to hang around a group of friends on TV. The man is not going to leave the TV.
No.
Okay. He's been working on this for a long time.
He's been working, and he's been working hard, okay, for many years. And he's finally become more central on The Valley. Remember the first season of The Valley, he was just sort of on the sidelines. And now he really is like, Zach is a central part of the show. And he's not going to give that up. And he doesn't want to. He basically says he doesn't want to. And so he's like,
Baby or fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Fame.
It's always going to be fame. Fame.
Yeah.
Fame. And so he's basically, Zach has had this introspective moment where he's like, you know, I don't want to get married. And then like, we decide all of a sudden, like, I don't want to have kids or something. Like, if we decide that all of a sudden, I'm like, if we decide that all of a sudden, it's already been decided. you do not want kids. And he's like, I never want to say that out loud, but I don't want kids, or maybe not, or, it's a no. It's a pass on the kids for Zach. Yeah, I don't think he's ready to come to terms with it.
And it's sad because a lot of couples go through that. And then a lot of times one person will just bend and be like, okay, let's just have a kid. And then they're miserable forever because they had a kid that they didn't want to have, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think you should really, really want kids to have kids. Kids are so difficult. You know, being a parent is so difficult. Being a kid is so difficult. You should really want it. I think the natural process should be really want kids. Try to have kids, go through whatever process you have kids, have the kid, have the parties, get all the pictures taken, then realize you really resent that little fucker. And that's when the process starts. But it shouldn't start before then. You know, there's a natural order to things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good assessment of it. And so Benji's like, well, I mean, if that's something that you feel in your soul, if you want kids or not, he's like being very supportive. He's like, no, it's okay. I will support you admitting that. And then Zach is like,
Benji's like the first person that I've ever dated that like wants kids. And like, so I've never actually had to be confronted with that. And then like, I've looked really deep in it. And like, I feel like life would be better to not have kids. But I also think life would be fulfilled in a different way if you have kids. And like, life would be fulfilled in a way of like, oh, I've always wanted to not go to brunch anymore. And I feel fulfilled on that task. Or I've always wanted to not be able to go hang out with friends anymore. Oh, I've always wanted to have a mess around my house all the time. And those are all very fulfilling things for me to achieve with kids. But I don't know. It's hard.
There's also the future fights where you're like, I gave up everything for you and you can treat me like this. You didn't even want me. Of course I wanted you. And then all they have to do is play some clips of the valley and just be like, no, of course I don't want kids. I absolutely do not want kids.
Here's what's crazy.
Against you in the future.
I think Benji needs to become, Zach has to advocate for Benji to become a full-time cast member, because I think this would solve a lot of it. Because normally when people are on the fence about whether or not to have kids, I'm like, please just watch The Valley and then you'll have a pretty clear idea that you maybe should not have kids, because everyone who has kids on the show is miserable. normally I would say that to someone, but Zach and Benji are actively on The Valley. So I'm just surprised they haven't noticed this yet. They're really in front row seats to like how rough it can get.
Yeah. Well, it's like people who go to horror movies. I mean, you know, it's going to be scary when you go in. I guess that's part of the fun. Then you tell everybody, oh my God, I screamed at that part. And they're like, oh my God, I screamed at that part too.
Did you see the trailer for Other Mommy?
No, you talked about how they played that in front of the Odyssey the other day, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Odyssey either, but Other Mommy, they released it on the internet. And so it's one of these things where Jessica Chastain plays like a bad mom. She's like a demon who like looks like this little girl's real mom, but she's a demon. She's like a Jessica Chastain demon. So I watched the trailer, of course, with the audio off because I didn't want jump scares. I'm like, I refuse to be jump scared by Other Mommy. Okay. It's too early in the morning. And there's like the trailer opens up. I don't know what they're saying, but Jessica Chastain is making breakfast for this little girl and she starts burning this bacon and it like catches on fire. And then it's like, oh no, it's on fire. And then the dad rushes in to put out the fire. And then like all of a sudden Jessica Chastain is contorted underneath a table. And the image of her contorted is now like all over the internet. It's like become like a meme because she's like all like, you know, her limbs are here and there. And my question is this. If you're a ghost, we've questioned a lot of ghost motives over the years.
Yeah.
Here's my latest ghost motive. I'd like to ask to the ghosts that are around us. What is it about being a ghost or a demon that makes you want to do Cirque du Soleil shit? Why is that your instinct?
Yeah, that's true. The contorting. Why do ghosts always need to prove their contorting skills?
It's like, I'm going to haunt you, but also I think I'd be a good candidate for a whimsical French-Canadian circus.
I'm think going about to it. Kill you and your children. Also, I can stand on my nose. Look.
I will destroy your sanity and I will also dazzle you. Like, yeah. I just think it's so annoying. Why do they have to do that? I just feel like the ghost.
Like, I'm contorting, but it's in water. Oh my God, honey, it's an O ghost.
Is that ghost contorting to Michael Jackson? Yes, they just got back from Vegas. It's a wonderful show.
Thankfully, that ghost took all the problematic stuff out of his contortion act.
Just the hits. Just the
family
hits.
Friendly. Here's my question to the ghost contorted under the table. Do you know how to make bacon? Because somebody needs to learn to make bacon in this family. And if it's going to be the scary contorting demon under the table, so be it.
Yeah, you know, the other here's where you first went wrong, is that I'm just not even convinced that Jessica Chastain can make bacon in the first place. I love her. I love that she loves Bravo. I hope that she secretly listens to this podcast. But like, when you think of Jessica Chastain, do you think that's someone who's going to make me my bacon?
I don't think Jessica Chastain eats bacon. I don't think she's like a big bacon person.
No, she's, I think she's
at all.
She's definitely like a macrobiotic salads. Like, I think she actually could make like a great salad. If she's coming over to your potluck and Jessica Chastain says, I'm bringing a salad, you know you're going to get a bomb ass salad.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I think it would be very apple cider vinegar heavy and like superfoods and nothing like really good or fatty in there. Like, there's not going to be gorgonzola. There's not going to be, because she's an actor who really keeps herself in perfect shape at all times. She's not one of those actors that's like, oh, I'm going to gain 50 pounds and, you know, get a bad perm for this role. Like, she's always looking perfect and snatched in everything that she does. So I don't, you know, I like a salad with a little more sin to it personally than a Jessica Chastain salad.
But she will have like really good farmer's market ingredients and she'll tell you about them. She'll be like, actually, avocado is from my favorite stand. It's from Ticarelli Ranch. They're in actually Santa Loma and they always have great stuff here. By the way, for those wondering, this is Jessica Chastain as other mommy contorting under a table for no good reason. Here she is on screen. Be sure to listen to patreon.com.
She looks adorable. Is she supposed to be scary? Because I think this picture is adorable. What a cute picture of her.
Well, it's cute until you realize there's bacon burning on the stovetop. Like, stop contorting and take care of the bacon.
She looks cute with bangs. I mean, yeah, her leg is over her head, you know, but still.
Is this
how to make bangs work? Just like, she's bangs. Finally, we found a way that bangs work on contortionists.
She's like, yes, my ankle is over my earlobe right now. But just so you know, those are actually watermelon radishes in the salad. They're delicious. All right.
Speaking of horror movies, let's go to Danny and Nia's house. One of the kids is screaming. And Danny's sitting on the couch with his son and he's like, whoa, do not jump on daddy. Where's daddy's owie? And the kid just like punches him in the dick. He's like, right there.
Right there. Right there. Again, I think Benji should look at this scene. He really look at it. Because Benji, by the way, the last scene ends with Benji saying the kids are non-negotiable. So good luck, Zach. So Nia comes home from judging the Miss Person from Somewhere pageant and she's like, hi, I'm back. So tell me everything. He's like, well, I had the procedure. So now that you're back, daddy can be on his feet because mommy's here. The natural order has been restored.
Daddy gets to lay back down again. Like, daddy has done so much for you children. Oh, get the fuck out of here. You've had one tiny little thing done, you wuss. This lady with four freaking, she still has one latch to her the whole time that she's gone. Give the woman a break. Danny.
And he had help, by the way. Not to trigger Lindsay Hubbard, but he had help. I love it in the city. It's like, yeah. Lindsay had help because she's trying to make a living. Okay. It's like, just because she has a nanny doesn't mean she's any more beleaguered, like any less beleaguered. And now with Danny, I'm like, oh, get over it. You had help. You had help. Danny. Don't cry about it, nuts, man.
She does everything, though. Danny, it's not even comparable. I mean, Danny's just, he's so gross, and he's such a fucking whiny baby. I can't with this guy. And of course, he's like, well, this was an anniversary gift, so happy anniversary. Now we get to have sex every 5 minutes of the day. Like it was a gift to anybody but yourself. Now you're going to be pestering her every 2 seconds for sex. So she's like, well, you know, one thing I really noticed when I was at Miss Whatever is it's so nice to be surrounded by such lovely, supportive, genuine people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the most genuine people, pageant people.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to tell you exactly what's on their mind.
That was my first thought when she said that. I was like, really, at the pageant? Supportive, non-competitive people? Totally. Very genuine people there at the pageant. Yeah.
Super uplifting.
So she goes, kind people. Know,
generally, like outside of Mexico, like Lala, like if you're going to come at me like that, are you really my friend? Because like never in my life outside of this friend group have I ever raised my voice at a friend ever. The loudest I ever get is when I say, Daniel, can you look at me? Can you look at your wife? Daniel, can you look at your wife? Sorry, that was a really intense example.
Come towards the light. Daniel, come towards the light. She's under a table looking for things.
Wait a second. Weren't you just in the kitchen burning bacon?
That's the other mommy.
Other mommy, the demon, is like, you know what? I don't really like being in this relationship with Danny. I'm going to go haunt someone else.
Yeah, Danny's like, you want to give me a little loving? Contortionist under the table. Just punches him in the dick. That's what I need. Everybody in this show just walking by and punching Danny in the dick.
Seriously.
So she just doesn't understand. I mean, real friends don't act like this. You're on a television show, you know, and your husband's a flaming jackass wherever he goes. So maybe people would react less to a person who did less shit to get a response from people.
Absolutely. So now we go over to Jesse's house. Michelle comes over and they just sit there and they just crack jokes and are shady and hilarious. And like, they are just they're the duo we always knew that they could be. And they really come to life in this scene. Just kidding. They are somehow signing divorce papers again. And crying again together.
These two are really milking it. They're really milking this divorce. My God. This and then Michelle keeps crying like, oh, I'm just remembering the good times. Hey, how about you remember that loan that he took out behind your back and put you on the hook for like $150,000? What are you crying about? I would take that champagne bottle, pop him over the head, and get the fuck out of there. Take everything else that you want from that house and get out.
It'll just get stuck in his hair dent. It won't work. But
he doesn't have that anymore. I noticed that the other day and I was like, see, people do evolve on reality.
That's because of Lacey effect. Lacey's probably like, you can't leave the house with that hair dent. I swear to God, I'm going to bump it in there just to smooth out that hair dent. You cannot do that, Jesse. if there really was a case for making divorce procedures more streamlined, it's this show, because I feel like this is the 12th scene of them signing documents. I'm like, I thought you already signed the documents. I get it. I know it's only
really he refused to sign the documents. But, and then he said, but I, you know, whatever. I don't even have the documents. She's like, yes, you do. Here they are. And then she pulled them out at a Urbane Cafe or wherever the fuck they were. And then he was like, oh, well, I guess we'll sign them when we get home, which I guess he didn't do. And then now here we are. So it's like, this has all been chasing Jesse down to sign papers.
Yeah,
now he signs them. But
looking back in my notes, I see that he did sign the papers earlier, but he did it with other Michelle while she was contorted under a table. So it's just when you have a demon that's you know, pretending to be your wife, you have to do two sets of divorce papers, turns out.
I found a Berwig Avogado at the Varmer's Market.
She's someone else I don't trust to make bacon, Michelle Lally. So yeah, they signed these.
I have bings now.
They are signing these divorce papers, and she's of course crying. And he busts out some champagne, and they wax nostalgic. And I think what was so funny is that the show is like, as they're saying, like, you know, there were good times. It's hard to forget the good times. It's important to remember that. He's like, yeah, Isabella has to know that she was made out of love. And so the show just starts showing these like warm flashbacks of Michelle and Jesse kissing, warmer times, frolicking from season one. I was like, those were not the warm times. Michelle was so miserable during that time. The fact that they obviously have no footage of them being happy together. And the fact that they're trying to con us into thinking like season one was when everything was wonderful. Season one was a shit show. Like, she visibly hated him the entire time. It's so funny that they're trying to pass it off now as warm fuzzies.
You know, I was thinking this must have been a really long time ago. Like, they've been married 10 years, but I guess they haven't. They haven't been married for very long, huh?
I think they've been married for like 7 or 8 years, something like that, like around 2018, 19.
Okay, so then maybe it was like before the show that they were so happy. I don't know.
But yeah, but this footage was not. Yeah, I was like, why are you trying to con us? We know this was Jesse. This is when Jesse kept on trying to like kiss Michelle and be like, we're in love still, right? And she was like, please get away from me.
Do not judge me. You are burning the bacon. So then we go, yeah, it's a super sad scene. We're all very upset about it. So then we go to Lala, Michelle, Tom, and Kiana, which is an odd group. No one speaks to Kiana. Does Kiana have one line in this entire scene? She's, you make these people drive all the way to Santa Monica or the Marie, wherever, you know, that's not close.
Wherever it was, not close.
You shove all these people who don't even seem like they would be hanging out together, especially Kiana. No one talks to Kiana. I almost felt bad for Kiana. Kiki. She has a key now, guys.
She has a key and she has her sunglasses on. Yeah. So these four go out on this boat and Schwartz is like, ah, oh, Michelle, do you feel differently now that you've officially signed the papers, you know? And she's like, yes, I do, actually. And Law's like, do you feel different now that it's settled? Like, I think it's the same question. That's okay. He's like, so she's like, yes, I can tell people that I'm the of yours, but it's not being acknowledged by the judge, but by Jesse and I, and it's in motion and there's no going back.
By the way, I am so excited to tell you, I am going on my first date. I'm dating a comedian I met because I was showing him a house, Maximini. Do you like?
Oh, Maximini. Who is Maximini? I'm looking him up right now. Maximini.
He's very famous. He sells out huge stadiums.
I am not doubting that whatsoever. I just am totally out of the loop with everything these days. Unless it's like Jessica Chastain contorted under a table. Like, Maximini, why don't you get under a table? Because otherwise you're not on my radar. No, he is. He's got like 10 million followers. Michelle Lally just leaving Jesse and just landing celebrity after celebrity. It's just my favorite twist of fate for her.
Yeah, she really is. So she's excited and she says that she met him and then it was just so organic and natural. You know, it's just like he made jokes, then I made jokes. We're just hilarious people. I could basically Zelod stadiums as well.
I can't wait to see Netflix is a joke with Michelle Lally. What's the deal with plaster? When you add it to a wall, it's not as dirty as drywall. Am I right? Am I right?
So they're all super psyched for her, I guess. And then they're talking about her dating, blah, blah, blah. I'm fast forwarding. And then Tom's like, oh, by the way, really, I'm just here to make my paycheck. Let's talk about Danny. He got his balls snipped. And then we found out about some trauma that Janet went through. And then Luke and the other got Danny just like totally disregarded Janet's trauma. And they're like, How dare he disregard drama? Lala's like, I will pop that motherfucker. I will pop both of those motherfuckers. You do not question traumas.
Well, I mean, well, it's just like, you know, she, it was just like this really thing. And then like Kristen also, like I had lunch with Dodie and she was like dismissive too. Oh my God. And we see a flashback to Tom with Kristen and Tom's like, oh, Kristen, I was like at a complete fucking loss. That's why Janet was like so charged, sort of smearing Danny. And like, I don't fully understand it. But then like Jesse was trying to articulate it. And like, I guess like Janet had like trauma or something like that. I don't know. It's scary. And Kristen's like, I feel like I should know this. And like knowing her as long as I have, like in my experience, she's not nice. And it hasn't been like about telling her, telling her side. It's just been like about how, like, how do I take people down?
Yeah. And Lala and Michelle are pissed. And rightly so. I mean, I think that reaction from Kristen and the guys is just, is shit. You know, you don't have to like somebody to be like, God damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. I'm sorry. That's it. Like, I'm sorry that happened to you. Why is that so fucking difficult? But they're like, whatever. Not an excuse. So they're pissed and rightly so. But we've also got Tom here being a total tattletale for no reason. Like, bro, you don't do anything. Okay. You just gave a key to a child and now you're tattletaling. The show just needs more. This show is worth more.
Well, he's just also
more.
He doesn't also deliver the message terribly well either. But Tom is like, yeah, I mean, I don't want to put words in Kristen's mouth, but like, that's the way she kind of felt in the moment. Lala's like, wow, I mean, I just learned what Janet's been through. And like, you know, that's like not cool. And then Michelle's like, yeah, like you don't have to, when you've been through something, that should be enough. You don't have to say what it actually was. So yeah, like you said, they're just like pissed. And they're like, wow, I can't believe that that's how Kristen responded. And Lala's like, yeah, this is not the friend that I know. Something like, I think her hatred for Janet is actually clouding her judgment at this point.
Yeah. So then we go to Luke and Kristen at the Motherhood, LA.
Other Motherhood, LA. And
there's one therapist sitting there and there's another one under the chair contortioned.
Which one should I be directing my therapy to? Both of us are fine. We're both ears for you. Yeah. She just wants to eat your soul, but that's okay. That has nothing to do with you getting some good therapy.
Yeah. So this scene is another yikes scene. God, the couple scenes on this show are just,
I have to say, I am finding a weird perverse joy in something, which is the way Luke is so incapable of not being a dick. Like what he'll do is he'll speak very deliberately and very carefully in a way to like not say the wrong thing, not offend Kristen and try to be like enlightened. And then in one quick second, he just undoes all of it by saying some bullshit, and he does it all season long. He's been doing it, and then he's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, sorry, that was wrong, man. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have come out that way. It's like every single time I'm like wait for it, and there it is
every single time. And he's saying the wrong thing because he's thinking the wrong things. He's just not, they're just not on the proper wavelength to be in like a long-term relationship raising a baby. They're just not. You know, I think they're trying to make it happen and it's so awkward to watch it. He's such an idiot. And Kristen's just kind of sitting there. She's got a big cup that she's sipping out of, like, as he's answering all these questions, because she knows. I think sometimes in a couple's therapy situation, it's almost like, see, you just need someone else there to be like, am I crazy or is this guy a fucking dick? And I like at one point the therapist like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, that was something that you just said there, Luke. Jeez, yeah, man.
Just like, wow, what's going on with
and
that?
Kristen keeps giving her the look like, see, told ya. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Say something else, Luke. Go ahead.
Well, I want to respect your boundaries. And I don't want to hurt you. And I think that you're very special. And I think we just have to learn how to communicate. And the thing is that when I met you, I hadn't met fucking crazy pregnant Kristen yet. It's like, whoa, God, Luke.
I loved you before you became pregnant and crazy and like criticized everything I do. Now I can't even go fishing. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Let's maybe try to reword that a little bit.
Okay. You're in the Motherhood. This is not going to work well for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Know your room.
So he's complaining. Kristen's like, you know, it's like parenthood. And I really thought that he'd want to be around for that part of it. But it seems like he always wants to escape from the, you know, being a young father and doing all this stuff. And he's like, well, I was really lonely because, like, I got more criticism than anything from her. And I wasn't even able to go do the things I like to do. Yeah, because you have a fucking newborn, you idiot. What do you think that entails?
Yeah, do you think Kristen's
drinking
to do
until 3 in the morning and fishing? No.
And Kristen's like, well, if he wants to go out, and like, I'm like, yeah, totally fine. I get it. And then I'm like, you know, I'm like rage anxious because it's like, you just can't stand to be around me and the baby. And he like has so many better things to do. You know what I'm saying? And so the doctor's like, oh, so you're hearing that he doesn't care. Yeah, he just wants to escape. Abort, mission, go, yeah, leave. And it's like, so her big insecurity is that he doesn't care. He does not want to be around her. And he's like, you're just spiraling to the worst case scenario. It's not like I'm going to imply in a few minutes that like the pregnant and postpartum Kristen is like crazy cuckoo pants that I want need to avoid at all costs. I'm never going to imply that in a few minutes. So I don't know why you're spiraling to the worst case scenario.
It's like, I don't know why he wants to escape all the time. And he's like, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. Just because I go tell all of our friends that if you do one more crazy thing, I'm not going to marry you, doesn't mean I want to escape. It just means I'm going to leave. What do you... You say what you say. At least stand by what you say. You know?
Seriously.
And she thinks the problem they have is communication. Kristen thinks that. But I think the problem is you're just not compatible. It's just not going to work. So the doctor is like, you know, nothing like a newborn to throw a bomb into a relationship. Am I right? I mean, well, it's the biggest stressor you're ever going to experience. And he goes, yeah, you know, I just feel like misery loves company. You know, it's like she's miserable and she wants me to be miserable too.
Well, I don't want you to be miserable. I just assumed you were miserable. That's why I was drawn to you. And Kristen's like, I just didn't want you to leave me alone and go out and get drunk or go out with your friends and come home late and I'll be hungover and sleep all day. And I just am here and just like, I mean, it's just like, it's not like I wanted to do any of that stuff. I just was very protective of my body, my baby. And she's like, you know, whatever. First trimester, she was like terrified. And so the doctor's like, well, Luke, I want to hear from you. What was that like for you? He's like, well, I was definitely on the same page earlier on and just being like, you know, because we celebrated too early. We lost one, et cetera. But like in the same, like it was a lot for me. And so Kristen's like, but in the same breath, he can't understand what it's like for me. I have no idea what it's like for him. So Luke basically is like, this basically leads up to him saying, like in Mexico, there's a lot of frustration. There was a lot of stress. And so that's why he had said this thing about like, oh, well, I don't even know if there's going to be a marriage because, you know, it's like there's so much fighting and there's so many people get divorced. So why even get married in the first place?
Yeah. And she's like, but, you know, when he like got down on one knee and proposed to me and then I fell over on a boat and said, caw-caw, it's a dolphin. None of that was a problem. So why is it a problem now? And he goes, yeah, well, I hadn't met pregnant Kristen yet.
No. So bad. Like, why would you ever say that? It's like, why would you shame someone for, by the way, for carrying your baby, for having to undergo physical transformations and duresses that you will never, ever, ever experience in your entire life. And also to then have to carry all the emotional and hormonal after effects. And you're going to be like, ugh. She was so annoying in pregnancy. I mean, she probably was like more emotional and annoying. I mean, it's Kristen, right? But like, that's part of it. And like, you just can't shame her for that. Like, she's going through something that's so hard. Like, how could he be so impatient with her?
He's an idiot. I mean, look, Kristen is Kristen, like you said, and Kristen is, she's a crazy person. I mean, Kristen, like, she's Kristen. She was like, we've watched her for a decade on TV, you know? So Kristen with anything else added into it, I'm sure is a lot to handle, you know, like with pregnancy and hormones and all of that other stuff. But the way to approach it is be like, listen, I love you, Kristen. I love our baby. How can I help? How can I make this easier? And if you're at a therapist, it's like, Kristen, how do I communicate that when you talk to me a certain way, it really hurts me and it shuts me down? you know, there's a little bit of that in there, but it's mostly like, I don't get what to do what I want to do. And like, everything's about Kristen, 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 and Kristen's feelings. Well, I have feelings. I want to do stuff. And it's just like, you're such a fucking baby. You know, she doesn't have time to raise both of you. And yeah, that's we know that Kristen can keep it in, like, her emotions. And, you know, she's learned to kind of regulate in a way that she didn't have when she was younger. And a perfect example is her sitting in this therapist just being so easygoing. Like, yeah, you know, this is kind of how I feel about Luke and the going out. You know what I mean? Going out and, you know, stuff bothers me. Because if the therapist wasn't there, it would be a huge fight, which we've seen 100 times on this show. So she's kind of learned to regulate, and she does probably need to learn to regulate with Luke a little bit, but the man is just so infuriating, and you need somebody that you can count on when you're in such a vulnerable position, you know, physically, your whole body's changed. I mean, she needs somebody just better, you know?
Yeah. It's just, I feel like he's just relentless in like his constant, his constant needling about his needs. That was not the right way to say it. I don't know. It was a weird sentence to say, but he's constantly talking about like
selfishness and
selfishness. Everything is sort of like, but what about me? And like, I have no doubt that Kristen has been more emotional, understandably and reasonably, over the past several months because of everything she's had to go through in terms of what's going on with her body, et cetera. And I actually have no doubt that it was hard. It's very hard on him. But like the fact that he doesn't have the tools or the patience or to know the woman that he loves, he doesn't know how to kind of like talk her down from the ledge or deal with it. And actually he just turns everything into like, this is what I'm going through. And I think that maybe it's like an overly, maybe it's like an expression of our times where we think like, well, you are entitled to your feelings too. And you are entitled to like your feelings are valid, right? We are in a time of your feelings are valid. And he's thinking to himself, like, she's being mean to me and not thinking, how can I fix this situation? He's thinking, she's being mean to me and my feelings are valid. And it's like important that I'm respected as someone too. And like, obviously, it's important to be respected. Everyone should be respected as a person. But I just feel like the fact that he's unable to like really kind of like make his future wife comfortable and at ease without also adding elements of resentment and I don't get to do any of the things that I want to do. I just think it's like it's not a match.
He has zero emotional intelligence. And I think that when we saw the beginning of their, or at least for us, the beginning of their relationship on the show, the roles were reversed. She was doing this like Earth Mother. I'm into crystals now. Oh,
yeah.
I'm into like spiritual peace and all that stuff that she was doing. She's like, I'm calm, Kristen, now. And in their relationship, we saw her being very supportive of his emotions. It's like, you know, you're in LA, like it would be great if you could just, you know, learn to be here. This is where I want to be. But she was also like very supportive of him and trying to help him figure out what he wants to do here and make new friends and be involved and stuff. And she had sort of this like, I'm the supportive one. You know, I remember him saying, I mean, Kristen's the girl that you can just throw her in the car with five dogs and drive without even stopping all the way from here to Timbuktu. And she never complains, you know, Kristen's not a nag. Kristen's just the most easygoing. But then when the roles reverse and Kristen needs support and emotional support, he doesn't know what the fuck to do. You know, he's just reliant on her being that. So when she needs it from him, he's like, I don't think he's equipped to even do it. He's not emotionally intelligent, this man.
I get the sense that despite everything that they've said and done and whatever he's claimed, I think that he has resentment of having given up a lifestyle that he wanted in Colorado where he could fish and he could do all the things. He doesn't like LA. He's been very vocal about that. But he's been like, but I want to be where you are, et cetera. I want to be on TV. He didn't say that part, but we implied it. And he made those sacrifices. And I think that I think in his mind, he's like, he thinks that he's owed something because of it. And I think in his mind, it's like, I did all this stuff and then this is how you're going to treat me. Now, and I've given you everything. I've even given you pregnancy. And now you're pregnant and you're acting this way to me. And I've done all these sacrifices. And I think that's like not the, if it is true, these are very bold statements I'm saying, but I kind of feel like I see it there on screen. That's not how you should be going into a relationship. And it kind of ties back into the scene we talked about with Zach and Benji, which is sometimes couples make compromises because they love each other, but those compromises can come back to haunt them. And it's you have to be really, really, really careful about what you compromise about. When it comes to like the non-negotiables, if something is non-negotiable and you're acting like it is negotiable, you could really be in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I get resentful of him because I think that's all a big manipulation. The whole, I don't want to live in LA and I don't want to be on, you know, I don't even want to be on TV. It's just such bullshit. He's like starting a daddy podcast. He's doing everything he can to be famous, you know, and like fit in with all the famous people and go to the, you know, all the parties. And so I don't believe that he didn't want it. I think that he's acting like he didn't want it so he could use it in the way that you're saying and be like, I didn't even want this. I'm doing this all for you. When I think that he did, of course, want it. And he's just trying to be cool because probably where he's from, they're like a bunch of LA Fruit Loops, you a bunch of Holly Weirds. That he's trying to please that crowd as well as trying to be one of the Holly Weirds. And, you know,
I think he's just also young and immature. He's like 33, 34. I think he just doesn't understand like where he has to kind of man up, as they would say. And, and I think it comes out in each one of these scenes when he will be saying all the right things on camera and then like the mask drops and he'll just say something really cutting that ultimately shames Kristen for
he gets mean
not being like the Kristen that he met.
Yeah, for having to undergo he gets changes. Really mean. And then when he's called out, he's like, but I didn't mean it that way. Yes, it is. Yes, you did mean it that way. You're just too stupid to word it, you know. And it was a mean thought to begin with, you know. He's a petty, mean little child, I think. So yeah. Anyway, when he says that, well, I hadn't met pregnant Kristen, and they're like, whoa, 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 both of them. And Luke says, well, I mean, I guess I didn't mean that as it sounded. It's just like I've gone through depressive times, and then you know, I just mean like it's like my mind. My mind's like, did I fuck up? Okay. Thanks for rewording that.
Yeah, that really helped it. Were you a mistake? Was our relationship a mistake and this child a mistake? And Kristen's like, that was a gut punch. I don't know. We take it day by day. We just continue to be the best parents to Kaya, try to rebuild our relationship. He's like, I'm sorry I said that. She's like, I don't want you to backtrack and tiptoe because you feel like it sounded bad coming out, but really that's what you meant because you know what I mean? And like, I wish I just had a better grip on myself and my pregnancy and I didn't. And you want another baby so soon. And the reason I want to take my time because I would like to have a better grasp on my pregnancy the second time around as best I can. So she's like,
and this is when I started yelling at the TV. Did you not? He wants another baby? Luke is pressuring her. Are you fucking kidding me? After all of this, this guy whining and crying and moping for the whole season, and he's pressuring her for another baby immediately. I can't. That's it. I'm going to spit all over the screen. What?
The therapist is like, so this is where the real repairing is. Like, you guys have to hear each other. Okay, you guys are hopeless. Get out of my office.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go over to Brittany's house, where she's playing with Cruz. Yikes. And Cruz is doing better now that he's been in a stable location. And so Janet comes over. And she's like, wow, I haven't seen your playroom yet. Look at this. That's in full. The swing is in full action. And I mean, I don't see a ball pit. So that's a bit disappointing. But otherwise, great room.
Yeah. So now they're talking about Halloween. I'm going to have a Halloween party. I love Halloween. I love themes. I love getting dressed up in costumes. We're going to have a Halloween party. The theme is Victorian vampire chicken fingers.
Victorian vampire masquerade, which is where you dress up like Posh Spice as a vampire.
I just want to be beautiful, but also like mysterious and dark and sexy.
She's gonna come dressed as an M&M, I guarantee. She's like, oh, this is a vampire. Rod just getting an M&M. I just couldn't help it. I know it's supposed to be Victorian, but I just want to be an M&M this year. I told you that I have told the story about my friend Leslie, who like in her 20s, she went to she was invited to like a Halloween party. And you know, like in like, you know, like an adult's costume party is gonna have a certain kind of vibe of costume, not even necessarily slutty, but like just a different vibe. And she went to this costume party dressed like in a Party City or Spirit Halloween M&M costume. She was like, everyone else was like in things that were sort of slutty or whatever, and just kind of like adult. And she was like in a kid's costume. I was like, that's the funniest story. She goes
to a sexy Halloween party dressed like an M&M. Was it at least the green M&M?
I don't know.
It's the one that makes you horny, right? The green one.
Maybe.
So, yeah, remember, because I made the sexy M&Ms. And I think their Lisa Rinna one was green, because they always said, green M&Ms make you horny.
She had heels, but then they put her in sneakers and people got mad. Do you remember that?
Oh, God. No. That's a real controversy. Why did they get mad? I like vaguely remember it, but I don't remember why people.
It's a real controversy. People were like, they put that green M&M in sneakers. She's a lesbian now. I mean, people were just crazy about it.
Oh, my God.
Ridiculous.
Really, we can't even just have green M&Ms anymore.
It was like
going too far.
Yeah, it was a whole issue. People were really upset.
Well, you know what I'm doing right now, don't you?
Looking up
green M&M in sneakers controversy. In 2022, they replaced the green M&M's iconic white go-go boots with casual sneakers. The move sparked a major culture war. Conservative commentators criticized the frumpy redesign, and feminists argued the brand was shaming women for wearing heels.
Wow, we're getting it from both ends. That's when you know you really messed up, when both ends of the spectrum are really hitting you hard. Other M&M. Actually, the M&M that has the heels is just like under a table, contorted. But like no one knows it's contorted because it's perfectly round. It's like, I am a contorting demon. Aren't you scared of me? You look the same.
The other mommy, you're literally the same. Well, maybe the other mommy is one of the misshapen peanut M&Ms, like the one that accidentally gets two peanuts. That's the version of contorting.
You know what I always find disturbing is when you get like, it usually happens more with peanut M&Ms, is when there's like some shell that's chipped off and there's like some M&M brain sticking out. So I feel like it's exposed. I'm like, no.
Yeah. But this is so good. I'm glad I Googled it, because listen to this. The sneaker swap ignited a multi-year firestorm. God, I love this country. The footwear change was swiftly mocked by Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who claimed the rebrand made the cartoon character deeply unappealing. The controversy was further fueled later that year when the brand introduced a new female purple M&M, which also received conservative backlash. They announced an indefinite pause on all its animated spokes candies and temporarily replaced them with a human spokesperson, Maya Rudolph.
While
some fans considered the entire shoe saga to be a calculated publicity stunt, the brand overhaul remains one of the most famous examples of corporate rebranding backlash. That shit is crazy.
It's crazy, but also they should never have caved in over this, like, to snowflakes on the right. Okay, I'm sorry. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And also, like,
crazy.
I love Tucker Carlson being upset that like the sneakers made the green M&M less attractive. I was like, were you like jerking off to the M&M's high heels beforehand? Like, what? Like, why is your erection so concerned with this?
God, I miss traditional green M&Ms. Jeez.
What happened to the days where green M&Ms could just put on a pair of stilettos and walk the streets like a hot lady wants to?
You're just not allowed to call a green M&M toots anymore without everybody having a fit.
Anyway, so Britney is speaking of hot stuff. Britney is going to do a photo shoot this week. Even though she's still a little swollen from her surgeries, she wants to do a photo shoot to sort of celebrate her new sexy body. And Janet is very happy about that for her. And she's also, Janet also wants to do a lunch or a happy hour just for the fun of it. And she's going to invite the girls and Zach and everyone else, et cetera. Well, not quite everyone else. So they start calling people and they call Lala and everything. And they're like, you want to come to Chili's and have some fun times with us? I guess that'd be Lala receiving it.
It's Chili's. This is very Janet. Like, wow, look at me, Janet. Just one of the people. Remember me, the girl who loves Dave and Buster's? I also love Chili's because it's a chain restaurant and I'm just a regular American girl.
I will say I went to that Chili's that they go to. I'm assuming it's the one that's on Ventura and Encino. And I went to it once and I got a steak there and it was delicious. I could not believe how good that steak was. I was like, what? Why am I having this like world-class steak in Chili's right now? It can happen.
Here's what I love from Chili's. Well, I used to eat the, I think, Southwestern chicken salad at Chili's back in the day when I ate chicken, but it's been a long time. And also iceberg lettuce with blue cheese. And the best thing there, though, the buns. I still remember the bun on that sandwich. It was delicious, soft, great. And the French fries dipped in honey mustard. Their honey mustard's fantastic. The French fries fabulous. Are great as well.
That's great to hear. So Lala's like, Janet, I just don't
a regular
want you
American
invite,
boy, you? Guys. You get me.
The question is this. Was that bun wearing sneakers or high heels?
Why'd they have to rebrand this honey mustard? They took the honey out of it. Oh, geez. God forbid the honey mustard shows some sexuality.
So Lala is, she's like, I don't want you inviting Dotisk. And John's like, really? She's like, yeah, I'm very disappointed in her right now. Like, you know, I didn't have to talk with her. I just heard some things from Schwartzy and I just don't want her. And Janet's like, yeah, like not a problem. I was not going to invite her anyway.
Yeah, she's not going to invite Nia or Kristen to Chili's. Oh, no. I'm being excluded from the Encino Chili's trip. How could you?
Daniel.
Low rent ass show. My God. Okay, so then they go to Chili's Day, and people start coming in. Like, oh, my God, you look so great. Oh, my God, you look so great, too. Michelle comes in dressed to the nines. And they're like, you are not going to leave looking like that, Michelle. You are going to get sauces and oil all over you. She's like, I do not understand what kind of sauces, what kind of oils does not compute.
So Zach is saying, Michelle just had her first French fry like a few weeks ago at Brittany's. And like, I don't know if she's like ready for a jalapeno popper. Okay. Did we see that?
Neither were you, Michelle? Apparently.
I know. No jalapenos.
Fire in the hole.
Ring of fire. Yeah. Was that a scene where we saw Michelle have her first French fry? I feel like, you know, on Big Brother, there was someone who had never had a burger before, and she had a burger on camera. That's what's going on Big Brother, in case you're wondering. I just didn't remember Michelle never having a French fry. So
I think like, they had fast food a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and that was like the first time she never had fast food or something. And they were like, wow, Michelle's eating some fast food. It's like, yes, I drive.
Would it be weird if I got salmon at Chili's? Janet's like, no, I mean, it's very you, but... So here's Janet's I'm relatable monologue. I'm from Ohio. I love a chain restaurant. I love fried food. I like places that have 4,000 locations in America. I was spending $600 a month at McDonald's breakfast when I was pregnant. And Jason said, like, you can, you know, eat whatever you want, but I'm just letting you know it adds up. And I was like, what? It's like $20 a day. And that's like $60 a month. And he's like, no, that's $600 a month. America, you love me again now, right? Right?
Really? Just am I such a normal back? Person? I don't even understand basic math. Me, lovable Janet. So she takes care of the ordering like snotty people do at fancy restaurants where they're like, okay, we'll have the escargot, the marrow, McPhee dynasty still in my head.
She
The BattleBot. But she's like, yes, we'll have the triple dippers, one with the Nashville mozzarella, one with the regular mozzarella, crispless egg rolls, boneless wings with buffalo. Baby back, baby back, baby back. Ooh, what? Lime. You get me.
Yeah. So Lacey shows up. She shows up late. Probably was giving her a pep talk in the herself a pep talk in the parking lot, like, you can do this, Lacey. You can go into a Chili's. It's okay. Just pretend it's Javier's with a makeover and make under. Whatever. Don't be negative. Go in there. So she comes in and she's like, wow. Oh, this is exciting. Hi, it's Lacey. So thrilled I drove all the way up from Newport Beach to go to a Chili's here in Encino. Thanks, everyone.
And Jasmine's like, wow. So everybody made up at the wedding party? You know, like, I wasn't really paying much attention because, you know, it was my party. But, like, how did everyone's talks go? So Lacey and Janet, you guys made up. And Lacey's like, yeah, Janet set me free from my shackles. Yeah. And, like, I said, I love the personality. Once you're accountable, I'm happy. That's all I needed.
Oh, this Chili's lunch is really exciting. So Melissa arrives and she's like, hi. And so Brittany's like, hi, who's ready for Halloween? This is going to be my biggest party. Yeah, it's going to be a Victorian Halloween monsters ball and Victorian ghost mom, ghosts on CBS Vampire Diaries Halloween.
Yeah, well, you know what? I picked up Danny from his vasectomy and we had a conversation where I was like, dude, you were very hyped that night. Am I right?
And, so we see him talking to Danny in the car saying, you remember the conversation with Lola? Like maybe some of the things. And he's like, I take 100% accountability for things. I am a good person. Said no good person ever.
I know. He takes accountability in a car away from the people he's taking accountability from and then declaring himself a good person. Great.
Zach after never like, apologizing and then crying at the bar over his little tiny cake alone all night.
It's my birthday. It's my birthday.
Let's go.
So Zach is like, you know, it takes a while for him to recognize, but then like I do feel like he's like slowly like starting to realize like some stuff. And Lala's like, hopefully, because Daniel will be on his best behavior since he's being neutered. And Janet's like, yeah, I mean, he's expecting that it will just like fully go away. And I feel like we're giving the guy like a lot of grace. And it's hard selfishly for me to watch this because I made a mistake last year. I said words I shouldn't have said, and I've gotten zero grace from it. And then and so then Zach is like, oh,
it's just like covering his face. Like, oh my God, I don't even want to talk about this. Like, I can't even believe she's saying that. And I was like, why are you covering your face?
Because like, I thought we moved past this, but I guess we haven't moved past this.
And
what was that? Like,
I don't know. So you just hear Zach's stomach gurgling slowly.
It's going, day-o, day-o. So Michelle is like, she's like, well, the only thing that can happen is he has to apologize and not ever do it again. And it'll never be talked about again. By the way, I'm not on Danny's side here at all. I think everyone knows I've been fully on the record as not being on Danny's side. I just want a clarification. What is the thing that Danny has to apologize for now? Because there's actually been so many annoying things he's done. What do you think is the root thing that
Janet just brought up the words she used. So I guess that was the, you know, sexual assault grabbing on the butt thing. So it sounds like Michelle's talking about that, but he did apologize for that. Obviously, it's been 2 years of this storyline now. The problem, I think, isn't that he's acting like a belligerent asshole whenever he's getting drunk around everybody and acting like an asshole and talking down to the women and getting in the women's faces. I mean, it's and his own wife and treating his own wife like shit. So there's so many things. I don't think it's as simple as him just apologizing. I think this whole group hates him at this point, except for his diehards, obviously. And they're not really wrong, you know?
I mean, fuck
that guy. So,
yeah. Or maybe what they're trying to say is like, yeah, Janet should not have inserted herself into something that was really something for Melissa and Jasmine. And Janet just sort of escalated it in many ways. But maybe they're saying that what Danny needs to apologize for is that, like, he immediately went and was like, fuck Jen. Even before that scene on the boat where she said it was sexual assault, before she even, like, articulated that, he was already kind of like, fuck Janet. I think he was already like, fuck Janet. Didn't they have a whole scene at Jax's where he was like, there's like, he was basically coming at her a bit. You know, they were already like, sort of, they're having issues. And maybe they're looking for an apology for like, you should apologize to Janet because you came hard at Janet. And the truth is, like, she was reacting to something that was like deep because of her personal experience. Right. And that's kind of where this
Yeah, I think that the cast would just probably put more simply in the cast words, if Danny doesn't want to be treated like a shit pig, then he shouldn't be a shit pig. Fuck yeah. That guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
and I think that would be
so much. And it's undeniable at this point that this guy's just how he talks to his wife. But then that stuff on the vacation was, vacation, how he talked to everybody was really.
I think he really was shielded by Jax. I think that really Jax took up all the attention, and I think Danny was always annoying, but he was seen sort of like as a sidekick, and maybe people even saw his behavior as him just trying to be like, you know, like be with like one of the guys. But now that Jax isn't there, it's like, oh, this is really who Danny is. It's not just him like filling a sidekick role. He just is annoying.
I'm totally guilty of falling for it. I just thought, oh, here's some hurdly durdly guy.
Same.
Just having like a lot of babies, and I'm sure I don't agree with them politically. God, you know, it's like one of those people I can just, you're like, I know that those are not my like-minded people, but they seem nice enough. They're just having kids and doing their own thing. And
then
if he goes out and he has some drinks on a vacation, who cares? He's raising all these kids. And if he wants to take a nap instead of being on national TV, making an ass out of himself, good for him. You know, that was my opinion, because that's how he was behaving last year. We didn't see him talking down to his wife like he does this year and treating his wife like shit and all that. We didn't see any of that until this year. You know, he was very much like, wow, they're saying that this happened. Okay, well, I don't even remember that because I was so drunk, but I'm so sorry. I mean, he handled it so much. He handled him. He tricked us last year with his phony personality. Trickery. And then they went and saw how popular they were and how much everyone hated Janet on the internet. And so they all came back armed with this, like, fuck Janet. Now we can say whatever we want and everyone's going to be on our side. And it's
the producers said, we got another trick for you. Danny,
you know, his facade went down. I'm sorry.
It did. And like, I obviously, like, from the very first episode of this entire show, I picked up on something with Nia, and then I started to be like, oh, I guess I was just like really wrong about it. But I think ultimately it was not a false positive. I had said, I think in the first episode, famously, I was like, oh my God, Nia's like a monster. I'm telling you this right now. I actually don't think that. I don't believe that Nia's a monster. She's not at monster level yet. But what I picked up on was that the reason why I didn't like her that first episode, the reason why I had like a red flag, was that I felt there was something fake happening there, and I felt like she was protecting something. And it was honestly the fact that everyone called him Danny, but she called him Daniel. I was like, something is happening. There's something in this relationship here. This is like about appearances. These two, like, they're keeping up appearances, but they're actually gonna be monsters. And she's going to be like a monster, and she's trying to be prim and proper, but she's not, yada, yada, yada. And like, it was all there. I was like everyone else. I was like, oh, I must have had a wrong read, because these two actually seem like they have like a really nice, healthy relationship. And now we all know the truth.
Yeah, yikes. So Zach says, okay, but like, here's the thing. Like, some people apologize, but then they still make missteps. But, you know, like, we have to give them room to grow, right? But it's like, well, look at how you treated Janet for so long, Zach. And he's like, how I treated Janet? Excuse me. And then this, it's a typical Brittany, of course, jumping in to defend Janet over Zach. And she's, it's not even defending, because he didn't even really say anything about Janet. It's like, what do you, I can see why he would be like, fuck off, Brittany. Like, are you supposed to be my best friend or not?
From a trip. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was not just all of this stuff with Janet's history, and especially Zach and Kristen, did not start with the Danny stuff. You know, that's currently what they're using now as their weapon, their cudgel. But it started way before then, and it's always been a problem with Britney. I'd be pissed.
Yeah,
with Britney.
And Zach's like, you really should like watch where you go with this. She's like, so I'm not allowed to talk. I can't say anything. And it's like, I mean, Janet did ban Zach from the strip and then imply that she was unsafe because he posted an Instagram story. So that was like a whole legitimate thing. And he was very frustrated with that. So now Britney then, of course, makes it about her because this is a reality show still. And she's like, for almost like 10 years of friendship, and you're going to just automatically dismiss my feelings or not believe the things that I'm saying are truthful? I mean, this is not my Kentucky Zach anymore. I'm like, it's probably also not the Kentucky Britney either. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's fucking Britney, of course. Like, on the verge of shit, I'm going to cry now. That hurt my feelings. That hurt my feelings. So Zach's like, you know what? Our conversation now is like on to shut. Okay, which is funny. And it's like, you know what? Speaking of, I'm going to go shit my pants in the bathroom. Goodbye. Goodbye.
So he goes off to pee and he goes to the bathroom and we hear him go, oh, shit. And then Zach tells us, all I had to do was pee. But whilst peeing, I relieved myself in a backwards manner and it relieved more than I thought it was going to. So we sharted. He sharted him. Oh God, that's a nightmare. Sharting on, like, basically on camera, like that. It could be heard. People are waiting for you to come back to the table. Like, if you have to take a dump in the middle of a scene that you're shooting, like, it's a nightmare.
But I don't even think he had to take a dump. He really thought he
didn't have to.
I hate, but it's fucking like, talking about this. I hate it.
Poop. But it's life. It's life. The point is that, like, if you're filming something, you don't want to be away from the table for so long because it's, like, it's already kind of embarrassing just when there's not cameras there, but when there are cameras there. Oh, and then it comes back to the table and they're like, did you poop? Did you go poop?
So this, it's worse. So this happens, and so he takes off his clothes and takes off his underwear and cleans his butt and then throws his poopy underwear in the trash can at the Chili's and then goes back to the table. I mean, I guess what are you supposed to do?
You have
to. But also, oh God.
It happens to all of us at some point. I won't share my story. So then, no, I won't. I won't. But, oh God. But what a night. Yeah. Other mommy.
Talk about somebody who probably poops their pants in the Chili's. It's this contortioning mommy from the other mommy.
Other Chili's.
Yeah.
Other relief.
Okay, so Britney's still at the table, you know, throwing a fit. Like, sometimes I'm talked over, like, my voice don't matter. It's really upsetting to me. I'm just trying to make things better. How are you trying to make things better when you're turning a conversation that's not even about you and it's not even about Zach and Janet into how mean Zach is to Janet? Britney,
yeah,
don't with your I'm just trying to make things better.
So now we go to Britney's sexy photo shoot. I mean, the thing you always want to do after you have lunch at Chili's, a sexy photo shoot. So Kristen and Lala
just, it opens with Lala just burping in the camera like
so she's doing this to feel good. She did a boudoir photo shoot for Jax back in 2019, and now she's doing something for herself. And she's just like really happy, Britney, because she's so happy with her new body and she feels good. And then they all kind of, the three of them just sort of sit down together. And Britney's saying like, no, Kristen, we had a girl's lunch at Chili's and you weren't there. And it was kind of weird. She's like, yeah, well, I know about it. Because Zach posted about it on this on his story and I saw it, but it's okay. I didn't even want to be there.
Yeah, who needs it? I don't need Jan in my life because Britney's like, I hate it. It just feels like you've secluded yourself. And she's like, yeah, I don't feel secluded. I just don't want to be there. Nothing's missing in my life. Okay. Nothing is missing by not having Janet in my life. And there's been a lot of time this past. I haven't seen anything positive from her.
Yeah, but are you open to seeing anything positive? She's like, no, not right now. I'm not. It's just like, not interested. She's like, but Zach has moved by us there. Jazz has moved by us there. Even Lacey's there. She's like, well, Lacey was on the phone with me until she walked in the door of Chili's having a fucking meltdown about the fact that she had to be around Janet.
And Lala's like, wait, that's what she's saying? She came in and she's like, we need to see people's experiences. What the fuck is that?
I hope they get into a fight with Lacey. They could have a whole storyline of like, were you excited to go into Chili's or were you not excited? Because one, we're hearing two different stories and you need to tell the truth. Okay. If you're going to be excited about Chili's, be excited about Chili's. But bitch, if you're not excited about being Chili's, fucking own that shit.
You come into fucking Chili's ordering your baby back ribs like you were friends with us, and then I find out you're talking shit on the phone?
You take your Polly Piper Holly Hobbit motherfucking baby back ribs and take them baby back to Newport Beach, bitch.
So, and of course, Kristen is right there tattletaling on everybody and throwing them right under the bus. You know, don't ever forget, Kristen is always gonna Kristen. It's like the second she's in trouble, she's like, everyone's worse than me, though. So Lala's pissed and Kristen's like, yeah. And then Zach talks about shit. He talks shit about Janet like 24 fucking 7. And I, you know, I always say, if you want to be friends with her, be friends with her. And he's like, but I don't want to be friends with her. I don't. Yeah, we've seen how chill you are. We remember the bus to San Diego. You haven't.
Yeah. Been. Yeah, exactly. And so Brittany's like, but why would Zach think that he has to say that to you? Maybe you're guilt tripping him. Because probably Zach has told Brittany, hey, Kristen guilt trips me into hating Janet. So Kristen's like, I literally don't give a flying fuck. I do not like guilt trips on Zach ever. Nia does. I do not. And they're like, oh.
So Nia does. We finally got Nia on something.
And Lala's like, oh, there's we go. There we go.
She's a guilt tripper.
Popped. That bitch has been popped.
Caught guilt tripping red-handed. It's like, I knew it. I feel like Nia's the mob boss who sits at the head of the table. Is like, it'd be a real shame if something would happen to them. And then Kristen's like, I want something to happen to them, and goes out and gets it done. And Nia's hands are always clean and Kristen's are always dirty.
First of all, Nia is not heading anything. Nia is not going to run a mob organization. Second, Kristen has hated Janet. This is the third year. Why are we acting like Kristen has to be manipulated by somebody into hating Janet? The way that they rewrite the history on this show, I wish Kristen would just come on and say, I don't like Janet. Stop trying to make me hang out with somebody I don't like. Period.
I think she has.
That's it.
I think she's saying that. I think she has.
I know, but she's not today. She's like, but Zach's worse. Zach says this about her and Lacey does this. I mean, they're just showing up and being nice because they're on a TV show and you have to move past shit and like be polite. But Kristen can't just be like, I don't like her. That's it. You know, she has to bring everybody else into it.
I will say that I had a point about this and I forgot what it was, but something really good.
I wish Kristen would just come say she doesn't like Janet, and you said she does, and then I kept yapping on like a
no, no, but it's not. I mean, who cares? It's the valley. If I come up with a point, come up with a point. But it's something about, oh god, other mommy took my thought away. Other mommy, she's like, are you sure? Would you like some burnt bacon?
Other Ronnie came in and ruined your train of thought
as usual.
Well, you know, Christina's gonna put your face on Jessica Chastain. You know that, right?
It'll be
other Ronnie.
I deserve it.
I deserve it.
So Brittany's like, she just guilt trips Zach because she barely knows. I mean, why would Nia lay a guilt trip on Zach about Janet? And Kristen's like, because Zach comes to Nia and in a group chat all the time, running his mouth about Janet.
So Brittany's like, yeah, Nia gets mad at Zach. And Kristen's like, so then she goes, okay, I guess that's your best friend, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so interesting.
Yeah, Zach texted me today and said, I should go to the Halloween party and be like, stay away from my bestie, bitch. And that's what he wants me to say to Janet at your Halloween party. He needs to figure out what he wants, what he wants and how he actually feels. And by the way, I just remember the point I was going to make about Kristen, which is that Kristen, that being said about Nia's not a mob boss, Kristen has actually been a foot soldier. That is her role in life. So let's not forget, while Nia may not be calling the shots, Kristen will still be a foot soldier, even if there's no one to be a foot soldier to. Caca.
You talked about Big Brother a little earlier. This reminds me of that. When one team is like, we're going to get this person out, right? We're all voting for this person, right? We're going to get them out. And then the vote comes around. And then one person's like, nope, not going to vote her out. I changed my mind. And then everyone else is like, what the hell? Who was that vote? You know, you guys are trying to ice Janet out. You just don't have the votes. And that's it. You know, if there's enough people willing to film with somebody, they're going to film with them. And you guys fucked up the vote. So at the end of the day, now this other team is going to start. Kristen's going to throw her own team under the bus now because she didn't get her way in that vote. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what's going to happen. It's very true. Other mommy. So Lala says, Kristen is unintentionally throwing her friend on the other side of the bus, like under the bus right now, because like she's here with like her friends that she has history with. Like we're deep rooted. We were from a different TV show. So we're thick and we share, we gossip. And there's a tiny piece that she's forgetting and she's rolling her friends under the bus and I'm here for it.
She loves it.
She does.
So then we go over to Kristen's house. It's another scene. And Lala comes over to visit her. And they make some small talk. And she's like, basically, Lala's like, Kristen, look me in the eyes. Do you remember getting canceled? It's about to happen again for what you said regarding Janet's trauma. I like you, Kristen. And I'm here trying to save you from yourself. Apologize right now or you are going to lose this TV show. Do it right now, bitch, or you will get
do it. And she's like, I'm realizing that I don't know what the whole story is, but Lala's sort of giving me that look like, oh, I should concede this one point because otherwise I'll be in real trouble. So yeah, I get it. But actually, all jokes aside, I think she was being sincere. I think she realized like, oh shit. Lala's saying this is not just like reality show fodder. Like something happened to Janet. They both let the implication just be out there. They both get it. They both understand. We don't even fully understand what happened. And we all understand that it's enough to be like, oh yeah, this is not just reality show stuff. This is something very serious. And like now certain reactions make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And she actually is a pretty good friend for going over to Kristen and telling her that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Kristen will just spin out on stuff like her idiot partner Luke did last week. And just, it was an important conversation to have. So.
And I was surprised.
And Kristen kind of seemed like she learned, but I don't know because Kristen was very hesitant. I mean, I think you were doing a perfect imitation of how she was doing it. Just like, well, Lala, the way that Lala's looking at me, I guess I shouldn't be talking that way about Janet. Am I done here?
And Kristen was on Watch What Happens Live last night. It was like, everything that Danny did, I don't condone it. So she's already walking some stuff back now. She's like, oops. Once again, Kristen wrote a little bit
too much. From what I've read, she's been on the after show backing Danny the whole season. Of course. So,
of course. I think she was just sort of paying some lip service to the fans there a bit.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much where the episode ends. So that was it for the Valley. But before we go, I don't know if you saw, there is an Other Ronnie. Oh my God, Other Ronnie is here. Other Ronnie.
How'd you do that?
Other Ronnie.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
Everyone look under your tables and beware of Other Ronnie. She is out there.
Other Ronnie is there to interrupt your sentence.
If you are not watching a video, I apologize. That made no sense to you. You're just like, what are they talking about? I put up an image of Jessica Chastain with her face swapped out for Ronnie's because that's where we are in our world of technology. So enjoy.
That's funny. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We will be back a little bit later with Next Gen NYC. Did you seriously just say fuck my dad? And we'll be here tomorrow with some Orange County. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay. It's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last naming. Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets a name from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.